Before introducing today's guest, this podcast won't grow except with you. So if you're getting the benefits from my episodes, simply press the subscribe button, turn the notifications on, and enjoy. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Tamara Ghazi, a doctor in Cairo and the co-founder of Disc Health Clinic. Dr. Tamara's journey is truly inspiring. She was born and raised right here in the UAE, but after studying in Canada and the US, she returned home with a vision. In 2014, after recognizing a gap in the market, she and her partner, who was once her patient, opened Disc. Over the past 10 years, Disc has expanded to 4 locations in the UAE and 1 in Kuwait. Beyond her impressive career, Dr. Tamara is also an ultra-marathon runner, preparing for her 15th race right now. Movement is not just a career for her, it's a lifestyle. She's a huge advocate for training, recovery, and understanding the body. Dr. Tamara.
Hi.
I've been looking forward to this.
Me
We've been
too.
Talking for like a couple of weeks to make it happen, so I'm happy.
Me
I'm
too.
Happy with it.
Me too, because I've also heard so much about you, so yeah. It's great to connect.
Yeah, true. So before we dive deep into, we have a lot of topics we're going to talk about, so before diving deep into those topics, I want you to take me a bit through your journey. You were born and raised here, went to Canada and the US, did your studies, then came back here. So take me a bit through your journey as a whole.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to be here today. I was born in the UAE. My parents actually met here. I'm Iraqi Palestinian by origin, but very Emirati at heart. I grew up in Abu Dhabi, and since I was like 16, I knew I wanted to be in the healthcare field.
Okay.
I have a big passion for helping people. I think that's where it stems from. And I also loved sports and I loved movement. So I remember when I was looking into doing what I do, one my father's brother, God bless his soul, used to be one of the first rheumatologists in the UAE. And he always used to tell me, don't do sick care. Okay. Working with sick people. And he retired really young. And I used to get really upset because he was a really good doctor. And I always asked him, like, why did you retire when you were like 50? You retired and moved to Spain. He's like, I can't do this anymore. Because you're like, dealing with sick people is so difficult. You can never really reverse. It's a mindset thing. So
Okay. If
I were you, go into a healthcare field where you can work with healthy people and make them better. So I met a chiropractor, and she, somebody who actually practices in the UAE, Dr. Reem, in Abu Dhabi. And she was studying chiropractic, and she was telling me there's this amazing profession where you use your hands, and it's very integrated, and it's very holistic, and it just really resonated with it. And we didn't really have many chiropractors here, so... I went to Canada to do my pre-med undergrad, and I started looking into the profession, and I kind of fell in love with it, you know. But I guess you never really know what you know. It's almost like it chose me. And then I just dove into it. I looked for one of the best chiropractic schools, which was in San Francisco or San Jose, California. And then I got accepted. Then I went, and it was a whole like world change for me. It's actually when I became the most active. It's when I learned more about my body from the people around me, and also being in California in one of the most beautiful environments. It's where I fell in love with trail running and movement and exploring how I feel. And it shifted me so much as a person. And I think I learned so much about myself, not only from my program, but becoming a chiropractor, but also learning to love my body, which was amazing. So I worked there for 2 years to get experience. And then I came back to the UAE in 2015. I wasn't really sure, 2012, wasn't really sure if I wanted to come back. I mean, I wanted to be close to my family, but in terms of practicing, I wasn't sure if the market was this advanced in terms of holistic care. But what I noticed in the US is there was a big divide between chiros, physios, and a lot of patients would come to me. I had a super successful practice with an amazing, who's now my mentor. She's an amazing practitioner. And we saw so many patients, but people, when they form a trusting bond with you, they start to trust you with other things. Like they're coming to me with back pain, but they're asking me about their blood pressure, and they're asking me about, you know, ACL, and that's not my scope of practice. You know, I'm more pain management, spinal focused. So I noticed that it was very hard to cross-refer to other, because when people leave the practice, khalas, you kind of lose. So I started really digging into integrated wellness, and I saw a clinic that was in California. I was like, this is my
Before we go, can you explain a bit what's integrated healthcare?
Integrated means different practitioners within one environment that work together for a patient's care. Because when you go to school, you learn, you become the best at what you do. And we're all specialized. You know, you can't be great at everything. You can't say I'm a rheumatologist and a chiropractor and a physiotherapist and a spinal surgeon. We all know what we know to the extent of what we know. And there's so much we don't know. And I learn on every day, you know. from my patients and from the research that comes out and how things evolve. But I always wanted to work with other people, and I'm a people's person, and you'll know that from my personality. But I am a people's person, and I know my limitations, and you know, people would come and trust me, and I say, I wish we could be in one environment. And that's what a hospital kind of aims to create, but it doesn't really do that because the volume is super high and it's so big. So my dream is always to create an integrated environment where you had practitioners within the same, relatively the same scope, which is for me, musculoskeletal care, treating the body. Mm-hmm. So I came back here. I also practiced in a very chiropractic practice. It was amazing. I got an amazing experience from it with an amazing also mentor. And I just knew what I wanted to do. And back then I was discussing with certain people my dream, and I met my patient, Michael, who is my partner now, my family more than anything. And I was telling him about what I wanted to do. And he's also very passionate about healthcare. He comes from a family of psychology, and you know, he was in oil and gas, and he's like, I love your idea. I love what your dream. And it's also my dream. Let's make this work together. And we just really clicked, you know.
Yeah.
I've never been married, but they say when you know, you know. It was the same thing. We knew. So we opened DISC in 2015. And I picked a few practitioners that I worked with in the UAE that I really connected to, but they were different from me. I picked an osteopath. I picked a physiotherapist. We had a sports medicine doctor, massage therapist, kinesiologist. We tried to look into different professions where we can give the patient the best approach. Because I learned from my 4 years of experience before I started DISC that maybe I just don't click with someone. Like, healthcare is so personal, and you need to know someone's story. And somebody comes to you with pain, but you realize the person is so deep, right? There's where you were born, how you were raised, your mindset, how you move. I don't know anything about you. I know what you show me. And in the half an hour that you present yourself to me, I only know what I know. So we created this integrated environment, and it's amazing from the start. You know, I learned so much from my practice, more than I've ever learned in school. You know, they teach you so much, and you see a patient, and it's completely different than textbook. So this is what I mean by an integrated environment. And from 2015 now, it's been 10 years and growing, and we're 5 clinics, 4 in the UAE, 1 in Kuwait City. And it's been an amazing and also very challenging journey. And I learned so much and continue to learn every day.
That's actually amazing to hear, because even us as trainers, you know, personally, whenever I get people, I automatically refer you guys, because the integrated approach is something I look forward to. So me as a trainer, I know my client. When I send my client to someone that knows what they're doing and we have that proper line of communication, it makes everyone's job easier, which is very rare here also in the UAE.
And so, it's for the best interest of the client, exactly, or the patient, as I like to call it. It's their best interest. And when we form a team, the client is going to feel so much more comfortable, because if you send me someone and I know what's wrong with them and I send them back to you, and I have a great connection with a lot of PTs who I respect more than anyone. And for me, these are really like the lifelong therapists, I believe, for the client, because for us, it's pain management. It's short term. I don't want to see my patients I do want to see them forever, but on a maintenance, not on a pain phase. You know, when people come in and they're always in pain, it hurts me because they're suffering. And pain is an emotion. I always talk about pain. Pain is one of my biggest passions, but it's an emotion. And it's not only rewiring the brain, but it's also rewiring the body, changing someone's habits. And trying to convince someone to change their habits can't happen for me. It needs to happen from a whole community of people to educate someone about how they can change their habits to get out of pain.
And what I like about what you just said is, you know, we have lots of clients coming in who tell me, I just did 20 or 30 sessions of physio and I still don't. I'm like, physio is, like you said, it's just the managing that pain.
Yeah.
But if you want to get stronger, you have to train, you have to do that. So like you just said, like, you need to change your lifestyle. You want to see your chiros and physios.
100%.
Yeah, you don't need to see them.
And I really believe the best therapists are ones that can connect to their patients.
Yeah.
And I love people. I'm a people's person again. And I learn so much from people and people's psychology and mentality. And honestly, I've learned most about myself through sport. And when someone comes in with the same thing again and again and again, and I don't want to see them for 30 sessions, you know, unless they're really like, it's an ACL rehab and they need progressive load and all of that. But if someone's coming in with the same thing, or they told me I saw, and they stopped trust, I don't trust physio because I saw someone 20 times and it didn't work. Well, maybe that's not the right person. Like dating, you know, if it's not working out, move on, see someone else, because you need a different approach. You can't just not trust the whole profession.
Yeah.
Same with training. I've tried so many different kinds of things until I finally reached and learned about my body and learned what works for me, what completely different than what works for you. You know, it depends on my stress levels, how I sleep, how I eat, what, you know, my lifestyle is like. So we're all so unique and individual. And it's important for us to find what works best for a patient. So, yeah.
You just said that it's been almost 10 years that you guys have started DISC. Can you tell everyone a bit what you guys offer at DISC and what were the challenges along the way? Because now it's a pretty competitive market.
You have a boutique,
let's say, clinics opening here and there. Even when it comes to training, it's the same thing. Especially in the UAE, it's quite competitive. So what were the challenges in terms of what you guys are offering? How were you able to grow to five locations? So take me a bit through.
So we started mainly as musculoskeletal care, which is pain management. And it was a big passion, obviously, for what I do. But as we grew and as I started to evolve as a person and as a practitioner, I realized that there's a lot more additional things that we can add or services that we can add, because people would come to us and trust us and say, hey, do you know a great nutritionist? Hey, do you know, like, I need to lose weight. And these things are connected to what we do, you know. Even dental, by the way, so many patients come to us with TMJ pain, jaw pain, and it's very connected to grinding, stress. So you need to add breath work, you need to add all of these different things. And I have a great network of practitioners I worked with, but we realized over time that we wanted to evolve. So our core business is therapy. But over time, we started to grow. Now we have a nutritionist that joined us. Even though I work with some amazing meal plan companies, people still want the coaching, the counseling. And I realized, you know, doctor, it means teacher. That's what it means. It doesn't mean superior. It means teacher. So I need to take everything I've learned in life, everything I learn on a daily basis from my patients, and impart that knowledge. And people teach me so much. They come in, they've read, they've researched, they've experienced, they've explored. And it's up to me to take that information and to be able to import that to the rest of my community. We've added psychology, something that's so important, mainly because, again, like I was saying, pain is an emotion. And there's a lot of what we call psychosomatic pain. When I say that to people, they're like, you're saying I'm crazy. No, no, no. Like, pain in your mind, the brain controls all our emotions and emotions, right? And when the brain tries to protect us from something, it goes into a repetitive pattern. It's a protective mechanism. So a lot of what we do is retraining the brain to teach it that the patient is safe to turn off that pain pattern. A lot of it requires psychology. There's a lot of people with chronic pain that have, you know, pain patterns that become out of, you know, I don't know, abusive behavior or stress. People don't know how to manage stress. And our life is so stressful nowadays. You know, we live in a day and age where everything is so fast paced. It's expensive. There's a lot more, you know, people have migrated and moved all over the world. There's less family, there's less community. So they can experience pain patterns that are not normal for what they have or what their biomechanics have, you know? So we needed to add the coaching and the psychology, because I realize I do so much of that in my session, but I can't do enough. I can't really help a patient because it's not my expertise. So we have somebody who just joined recently, I'm very excited to share about soon, who's more of a trauma therapist.
Nice.
And we have Dr. Mesa, who's been with us for a while, and she's absolutely amazing. She's a general psychologist, but for example, she specializes, she has a PhD in pain management. So, you know, people that have had severe accidents or chronic pain patients. And I'm very passionate about the geriatric population, believe it or not, the aging population, because our generation, we know so much. I mean, look at the internet, look at what we have. But the aging population, I feel, haven't been exposed to a lot as much as we have, and they experience a lot more pains and aches. Like, I am really hoping in the next 20 years, we'll never hear of a knee replacement again, you know? And look at our parents' generation, how many people have replaced both knees. And
knees, hips, everything.
It's crazy. Yeah. And you know, it's all prolonged sitting, prolonged standing, no strength training, like, weight. These are weight-bearing joints, and they're so simple to heal and to treat, you know? I used to hate, by the way, treating knees and hips, and I'm a spine specialist, but I adore it now because it's so simple. It's all about stability or mobility. And, you know, so easy.
Music to my ears.
So easy. So it's just about educating people and trying to rewire them, because it's so hard to change someone's behavior. They need to be willing, you know, and it's tough. I was on holiday for 3 weeks. I died the last 2 days going back into training, even though I was moving every single day there. But the body quickly forgets. So trying to educate people, trying to bring these new habits to their life is also really hard. So that's why we're also trying to pick and choose. And this is how we've evolved our practice, because we realized we were limited. And we realize now that, okay, it's great to partner and work with different providers in the community, but people want a one-stop shop. And that's how we've grown. In terms of challenges, oh my God, I don't even know where to start. Like, there's been so much. challenges in recruitment, of course. You know, we're a country where people come and go so much. So people come and go. It's very hard for me. I get very attached to the people that work with me. They become like family, but learning.
So I've heard.
Yeah. I love them so much and they love me so much. But, you know, it's been hard. Sometimes you don't align with someone. Somebody wants something better. So you learn to grow thicker skin. So I think that's my biggest challenge. And challenges in the way the market has changed. You know, yes, being competitive is better because it pushes us to work harder, to provide better value, to provide better skill set, to provide better service. But it's too competitive almost, I find, here. And it's almost like oversaturated for a market that's still very small. I think it's great that it's so saturated, but unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand the medical world. People still want the quick fix. So I really
unfortunately.
Hope, you know, we call it at work the wellness toxicity. And I'm moved away from this word wellness because we're not in wellness. We're medical wellness. You know, we come from a medical side. But the whole wellness scene here exploded so much because they say it's a, you know, a big market. But we can talk about this later. But the, you know, the whole biohacking world and people have gone above and beyond to solutions that should be so simple. And I think this is also the challenge, is understanding our identity and where we are. And I think now more than anything, I know who we are and where we are and the directions I want to move in. And it's really about helping people in the simplest way possible.
Yeah. And I believe before, whenever we used to mention the word DISC, automatically we went into more physical therapy approach. Yeah. Now you guys, like you said, you're shifting more into medical wellness, which I believe is what people need.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're training the mental aspect, the physical aspect, and being well-educated on movement, on strength training for you to also tell your clients, now this should be part of your lifestyle, is extremely important because it's an entire spectrum that we need to cover.
100%. And I tell my patients, like, knock on wood, I'm never in chronic pain. Like, I do think sometimes I get neck pain, I get something that doesn't last more than a week or two, you know? And if it lasts, it's because of something I'm doing. But if I can be out of pain the whole time, why are you in pain the whole time? So it's important for me to impart that knowledge. And people tell me, yeah, but you have time. How do I have time? Like, I run 5 clinics. I work 5 days a week, you know, at least a 50-hour work week. I make time. I prioritize what's important to me. You know, I have a lot of moms that say, oh, you don't know what it's like to have kids. Well, I see moms that take their kids with them to the gym, or they find activities they can do with their kids. Yes, I don't know what it's like to have sleepless nights, but, you know, for me, finding, it doesn't need to be, movement doesn't need to be so extreme. We don't need to all train for a marathon. You can do 20 minutes of movement and feel amazing, you know, and get a quick fix. So it's just re-changing people's mentality and brain pattern and really hoping that we can get into, you know, a mindset, especially here and globally, where people are really in preventative medicine, not invasive medicine.
No, I love this approach because I do really believe, and part of what I do is also educate my clients about movement.
Yeah.
When you say movement, it's not just the typical bodybuilding approach.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not against it if you're competing in that. But for general population, you need to move.
Yeah.
Yes, you need to build strength. Yes, you need to build a bit of muscle mass, but you also need to know how to jump, how to land. If you're playing basketball with your friends, you need to learn movement efficiency for that injury risk to be less.
And not just that, I'm a very spiritual person and I really get into, like, you need to know yourself. And through movement, I feel there's a little bit of suffering sometimes when you push, right? But you get to connect with yourself and you get to put yourself in uncomfortable environments, and that's how you grow.
Yeah.
And for me, movement not only is about strengthening your body, but it's about building resilience. Resilience mentally, resilience emotionally, resilience physically in every way. And I feel a lot of people don't know themselves. And I tell them, look, the only thing you have in life, everything, your family, your partners, your son, your kids, your everything can come and go. This is the one thing you have. It's the one vessel you have. How can you not love and respect that? You know, this is the something for me that when people don't respect their body, I'm always like, how? You know, yes, sometimes I disrespect my body, eating bad, drinking, you know, we do these things, but we learn the balance, you know, and as we get older, we learn what works and what doesn't work for us. So it's really about connecting to yourself more than anything. And when my patients come to me and they tell me I'm in pain, the first thing I ask them, what did you do? You tell me. I'm here to help you, but I'm not a magician. Like, I'm just here to push you in the right direction. You know what happened. What did you do? What didn't you do? You know, why are you know, when you're getting sick, like, you know something, you know.
You feel it.
Yeah. Exactly. So a doctor shouldn't be the one who's there to tell you what to do. A doctor should be your guide to help you. But humans, we have innate intelligence. And this is where chiropractic really stems from. There's intelligence deep inside that educates you about, you know who you are. You know what's wrong with you. You just need to tap into that, that magic, as I call. And through movement, I find that magic. So, yeah.
No, it's the first time I'm talking with someone that's so passionate about movement, because I'm very passionate about movement. And I do believe it's not a quick fix, but...
It's life.
Yeah.
It's life. We're born to move. We're not born to sit, right? Look at us evolutionary people. We're hunters and gatherers, We never used to sit at home all day and do nothing and watch TV and, there's nothing wrong. I love TV. I like my shows. But that's my downtime.
Yeah.
But it's not, and even in the UAE, by the way, people, I get it. It's not designed to walk. But moving here, I go running in summer.
You have a lot of communities. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like coming back here, being here in summer is one of my favorite things because I get to do things I don't normally do when I'm so busy, I went skiing the other day. I learned how to ski here in the mall. So what more life can you want, There's amazing communities in terms of sport. And I think, and there's something for everyone. There's something for a geriatric population. There's something for kids. There's something for adults. There's competitive environments. I'm a runner. I mean, I look at run clubs nowadays. It's the new Tinder. It's amazing. Like you cannot sign up for a marathon anymore. If you're not on the second they release a marathon, used to sell out in 6 months. It sells out in 24 hours. So I love to see that people are becoming more in touch with their body and becoming more in touch with community.
Yeah.
That's something that's really, really amazing.
And I do believe we've been progressing a bit compared to before, especially because you have lots of communities that 100%. Are being created.
But I want to go back to something you said about one of the challenges we experience. And I'll tell you why I'm going to mention this. People's mentality on medical spending and insurance. And I want to talk about this because this is why I appreciate trainers so much. And still, for a lot of people, when I tell them, let's say, I say, go get a PT, they're like, it's expensive. I'm like, it's an investment in your health. Like if I had, 10,000 dirhams, I would spend 50% of it on my body and the rest of it on my life. At least 50% of it on the food I eat, on my wellness, on movement, on learning, on exploring, because I don't understand how people don't invest in their health. And they have this mentality, and I think it's globally, but really here, that, if it's free, I'll take it. And this is what kills me with the whole insurance. Like, insurance is there as a backup, and insurance companies are really going downhill, and they're not really giving people the coverage. But do you really want to get to a point where you're so sick that you need to depend on an external company to take care of you? I get it. Like, you have insurance, use it, but invest in your wellness, invest in your health. Like, something isn't covered, you're not going to go. I see a lot of people, physio isn't covered, I'm not going to go. So you're just going to live in pain? Like, how? Okay, fine, don't go to physio. Go to the gym. Maybe the gym is going to make you feel better. So I think there's also this mindset that I don't know how this arose a lot more over the last five, six years after COVID.
Yeah.
There's been a big shift in people's mindset. There's been a big shift into the wellness field, but I still see as insurances dominate the market here. And this is something that affects providers because they kill us in terms of payment. But people don't value the system. If insurance covers, they'll come 100 times. When the insurance stop covering, they stop coming. I get it. You don't need to come to see someone all the time. But invest in your health once a month. You go to a restaurant and say, I'm not going to eat because, it costs me money. No. And this is a mindset shift that I've seen that it really bothers me and kind of makes me sad.
And I believe also... we play a big role in that.
Of course.
Because we educate.
Of course.
The more you educate, the more people will understand, okay, I'm investing for my next 10, 20, 30 years down the line. So instead of spending my money on doctors later on, no, I'd rather spend it now to have a longer life, to be able to move, to be able to play with my kids. So
So it's just prioritizing. And I think that's the most important thing.
No, I do agree. Because also as trainers, like you said, like people would rather go on the weekend, spend 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 dirhams on something that's temporary and won't give you any benefit, instead of paying that for a proper, well-educated trainer.
100%.
To get better.
Even like I tell someone, rather than buy clothes, we have so much abundance of things. Like take that money, instead of buying 25 leggings, buy two and spend it on trainers, spend it. Really change your value system, because the things you learn from people, even me, my 20 years of exploring movement and working with some of the best physios, I meet PTs on a regular basis that teach me stuff that I have no idea about. And we only know so much, but we know what we're exposed to. It's not my specialty. It's not my, it is my interest, but it's not my exposure on a day-to-day basis. And I still go to classes. I still try different things, and I constantly learn. And I think that that's how I love to grow, is to always evolve. I never want to be the same. I want to grow and always learn new things and impart new knowledge, because we're different people at different stages in our life. And I think it's important to evolve with that.
Oh, agreed. Now, you mentioned a bit earlier about the quick fixes. Yeah. Quick fix is something now that is occurring everywhere. We spoke about it a bit off air. So I just wanted to have your take on those quick fixes nowadays. What do you think about the GLP-1? We hear the terms Ozempic, Mounjaro every day. People getting on those cycles. What do you think about them? Give me your honest take. I'd like to hear it.
So I was so against it when it first came out, because first of all, it's a diabetic medication. But as I started learning and researching more, I realized, let's speak specifically about Mounjaro, which I know a little bit more of than Ozempic. It's actually a peptide. And I'm very pro peptides, because I think it's important to have, you know, we only get what we can from our environment. The food that we eat is all imported here. It's not farm to table. You know, we live in an environment where it's high stress, fast paced. And as much as we all try to prioritize X, Y, and Z, supplementing is important, especially for certain people. I've taken peptides many times. I take them when I have injuries. And let's say I was training for a marathon. I had a really bad tendonitis. I wasn't doing my rehab. I was neglecting my mobility.
I hurt.
Yeah. You know, all the things I need to do. I have an amazing team, but I still don't get the time. I'm working a lot. So I took the peptides. It really, really helped. It got rid of my glute tendonitis completely. My Achilles, I just needed to work on my mobility more. But it definitely helped alleviate my my pain and helped my recovery time. It was amazing. Do I take them all the time? No. Now, I learned that Mounjaro is a peptide. And what it does is, it, in very simple layman terms, it changes your satiety receptors. So you feel full. Do I promote these things to the average person? No, because I believe that we're so weak sometimes that we don't know how to control our emotion. And people emotionally eat. I emotionally eat. I love sugar. This year, I'm really working on my sugar control. When I want sugar, I think, do I want it because I'm just emotional? Am I tired? Am I thirsty? Am I hungry? Most of the time, I'm thirsty. I'm very, like, you know, dehydrated. I drink water. I add some electrolyte. Boom, sugar craving's gone. And we have so many substitutes for that, you know? Yeah. But people get to a point where they want that quick fix, which is the weight loss. And look, there's a lot of benefits to things like Mounjaro and Ozempic for people that are very overweight and they need that. There are people that have other conditions like thyroid condition and they have insulin resistance. They need that. But if you just want to lose 3 to 4 kilos to look good for summer, or you want to be extra skinny and you're using it, you don't realize the long-term side effects that it has. People using it for a few months just to get a kickstart, I understand. People using it, including a full round of 360 approach, I support.
When you say 360 approach, what do you mean?
So, you know, you're on Mounjaro and Ozempic, but you're also on a diet, on a meal plan. You're not, you know, I've seen friends on Mounjaro and Ozempic, they forget to eat.
They become so skinny, you can see that you would think they're sick.
But I've worked with people where a whole day goes by and we have hunger, you know, like you eat breakfast, I mean, eat two meals a day, but they'll work 12 hours, forget about food. That's not normal. We're not supposed to forget about food. You know, you're supposed to wake up in the morning and feel hunger. When I don't feel hungry in the morning, I'm like, there's something wrong with me. Like, what happened? Did I not hydrate? Did I not move enough? So your body, hunger is normal to feel. So it's about, you know, this 360 approach is, you know, working on your nutrition, working on your sleep, working on your mental health, working with the PT. Because when you're on weight loss, any kind of weight loss supplements, you lose muscle and fat. Mm-hmm. And you lose a lot of muscle. And people don't realize, especially if they're on it long-term, you know, I see so many patients that come in, they have so much joint instability. They have chronic joint pain because they're too tired to work out, too lazy to work out, but they've lost weight, so they're happy. So for me, learn to lose weight in a healthy way first. And then if you can't, you want to use the GLP-1s to help you to get to a certain place, to kickstart your habit, do it. But if you're doing it to just lose 3 or 4 pounds, wrong. Very, very wrong. And we can talk about this as much, and you can't really change people's perceptions, because I see a lot of, especially women, I mean, models that are on it just to cut hunger cravings. Girls that are scared to, and they're skinny and they look amazing. They're just scared to eat. And this mentality is just so... It's so bad because short-term fix, they don't realize what's going to happen to them in the future. Women don't realize the effects of menopause and perimenopause. And I would never want to go through that. You know, you see researchers like Dr. Stacey Sims, you see so many of these women coming out nowadays that are talking about the importance of building muscle mass. And you know, if you're on this constant caloric deficit, severe caloric deficit,
you can't. Simply can't.
Yeah.
But the way I usually think about it is risk to reward ratio.
Yeah.
If you're obese, there's a high risk of you getting certain diseases, etc. If it helps you on that,
100%.
Definitely do it to a certain extent, but make sure that you're training, proper nutrition, mentally you know what you're doing. But if you don't need it, why take it? Because some people just hop in on the trend.
Yeah, it is.
Because this is trendy.
Yeah.
And especially here in Dubai, you see a trend.
But by the way, it's everywhere.
Yes.
Like, the whole Ozempic Mounjaro thing. Yesterday, I was watching a TV show, and it was like sequel of Sex in the City. And, you know, the husband was telling the wife, oh, I have a thing, I gained weight. And she's like, just take Ozempic. On TV, you know, yeah. And people watch this, like millions of people watch this, not thousands, millions of people watch this. So it's not just here, it's everywhere. Everywhere has become trendy. Everywhere has become it's just an easy solution. And people are not willing to change their life. They're not willing to change their habits. And this is a way for them to forget, almost to numb your emotion. But why? Work on your mental health. What is this attachment coming from? Where is this addiction coming from? You know? So for me, I mean, we've launched a weight loss program and that's how we met to create this partnership. We do sometimes prescribe GLP-1s when someone really needs it, but it's about monitoring the person and saying, hey, you've exceeded your time with this. Like you've used this for a certain period of time. Stop. Now it's time to work on learning how to eat properly, learning how to feel your body, learning how to move, learning how to love your body. This is not loving your body. You know, we're not supposed to be addicted to food. We're not supposed to be attached to food. But people just don't understand and they don't know.
So. Well, I definitely agree. And hopefully with the launch of that program, we can educate people on what's the right way of doing it instead of just doing it. Because I've seen lots of people like in 2 or 3 months, I genuinely thought they were actually sick.
Yeah.
They became so skinny to a point where they can barely lift 50% of the weight they used to lift,
100%.
Which is actually harmful instead of getting those benefits.
And I think, look, we become a generation so obsessed with how we look, right? How you look is so much affected to, linked to who you are, your status, your, you know. I've also gone on the other bandwidth where I was tracking every macro and I got through this place in life where, but I learned a lot. I learned about nutrition, but am I macro obsessed anymore? No. You know, I know protein is important. I go through periods of my year where I fast. I don't eat any meat products. I'm completely vegetarian. I choose lentils. You learn with your body, but the body is so resilient.
Yeah.
But you also, like, unless you have a specific goal and you want to look a certain way, we're so obsessed with how we look. We forget about how we feel. We forget about real health and nutrition. I see some men and women that are so lean and it's not genetics. Because they're constantly restricting themselves. Good for you if you're doing it for a certain period of time, but I don't believe this is healthy long term.
And it's not something you can sustain.
No, absolutely not. You know, women are not supposed to have 10% body fat, unless some women are genetically like that. But,
or they're competing.
Yes.
So.
Yes, but even competition, your cycle. You're not doing it all year round, right? You have on phases and off phases. There are people that are sick that can't eat certain things, I understand, but the average person is not supposed to be also on the opposite side, you know, where we're so restricted. And I think this all comes from our mind. And it's so important to work on your emotion, your mental health, your wellness, to see why you're controlling these things. You know, we're supposed to be here to perform. I eat to perform, not only in sport, but
it's
in my life.
It's your fuel.
I want energy. I want to be able to be happy. I want to talk to people. I don't want to sit and think about food 24/7. I want to know that this is my food. This is why I'm also on a meal plan. I love food. I love to cook. I love the kitchen. But I just don't want to think about it. I don't want to sit on Deliveroo and I'm in the mood for that. No, it's my food gets delivered to me. It's amazing. It's clean. It's healthy. I eat it. I feel great. If I want something, you know, you don't need to obsess over this. You just need to understand who you are, how you function. You know, I was on this severe caloric deficit. I felt it. I was achy. I was moody. I was cranky. Look at people now. They're, you know, carb phobic. You know, carb. What's wrong with us? When did we become so obsessed with how we look and our weights? And carbs are so important for humans, you know, with potatoes, rice, bread, we've been living on it for years. So So, you know, we really are what I call first world problem. But it's important for us to scale down and narrow down. And I think it's because we live in such a fast-paced environment that we need to slow down a bit.
Yeah.
You know, we need to slow down a bit, evaluate our life, see what our priorities are, and then work on these things. So
I definitely agree. In my intro, I said that you're a training freak. I've seen it. I've heard it. I know you push yourself to the limit. Having the background that you have, the medical background, and training at this intensity. You know, most of us coaches, and I believe you too, we tend to push ourselves to the limit just to get that feeling out of it.
Yeah,
but we don't take care of ourselves as much as we can recommend our clients to do so.
Yeah.
So do you believe having that background has helped you shape the way that you're training? Because the intensity that you train at is quite high.
Yeah. So, no, because I think when I come back to it, like you said, I love the feeling. Nothing, there's no high in the world like the high of a really good workout. And for me, it's like after a really great run, especially a tempo run, I'm like on cloud nine, you know? It's just nothing in the world
runner's
can give me
high.
That. Yeah, yeah. Runner's high, CrossFit high, high, whatever you want to call it. Even in yoga, I find peace, I find connection, I find in all kinds of movements. I cried kite surfing like 2 weeks ago. I remember I was on the water and I'm like, this is the best feeling in the world. It's feeling of freedom, you know, and it's freedom of your body. You know, obviously I know why you get injured and I know how not to get injured, but I still get injured because I love movement and I like to push myself so much. I'm just really lucky to have my team because they fix me up and patch me up all the time. But I think it's more experience over time. Yeah. I think the older I get, the more I realize like, my body doesn't recover the same way because I don't make the time to recover. Not because I'm old, because it's so many years of abuse that khalas, I got to a certain place where the body is just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't support you through your bad biomechanics. Either you work on it or you're screwed. So it's more experience over time. And I think also learning from science that your best performance is when you learn how to recover well, you sleep well,
definitely.
You eat well, you know.
Definitely.
In my 20s, I used to go out and drink and 3 hours of sleep and wake up and run 20K. Now, if I don't sleep 8 hours, there's no way I'm going out to run 20K. So you change as a person. And it's so much more enjoyable when you feel good, right? Sports feels great when you feel good. I don't want to be lifting when my hips are hurting, my knees are hurting, my ankles are hurting. I want to lift when I feel amazing. And I think also in an environment that's so competitive, it's easy to be competitive. But I realized with sport, I pulled away from these environments. I do one marathon a year. I don't do a million other competitions because as much as I'm competitive with myself. I'm not competitive with other people. So I like to push myself within my own space. And that's, I think, where I learned to not get injured. Because if you're constantly competing, I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not going to the Olympics. I'm not even that fast and that great in what I do. But because I love so many different things. But I've learned that when I do it for the love of it, for how it makes me feel. And I learn now to slow down for sure. People look at me and they're like, you're slow. No, if you saw my life 10 years ago, and you see my life now, I'm so much more slower because I respect my body.
Okay.
And I know we all need rest, right? To perform, you need to rest, you need to recover, you need slowness, you need to eat. You need to. So yeah.
You sustained a couple of injuries down the road.
Mm.
What's one of the most major injuries that you've had? And how was, let's say, the recovery or treatment process?
Definitely the worst one was plantar fasciitis. I had a really bad plantar fasciitis for like 2 years. Funny enough, I realized, well, I stand all day, so that doesn't help. I'm naturally stiff. I'm not a flexible person, but I realized from all the research I did, plantar fasciitis, and I'm a fascia specialist and I'm obsessed with fascia, but it's very closely related to hydration. I was chronically dehydrated. I was drinking a lot of regular water and I changed that completely. I drink a lot of electrolytes, natural electrolytes, coconut water, fruits, salts, increased that a lot. That helped my plantar fasciitis so much. Walking barefoot more. We live on concrete. We live in hard spaces. I love the beach, but I wasn't grounding enough. So little things that I was doing. Yes, I have the fascia fighter. Yes, I was doing massage, but nothing helped as much as sleeping more, hydrating more, and also slowing down.
Yeah.
Decreasing the load of exercise and intensity that I was doing. I used to do CrossFit and train for marathon. Now I'm like, this is too much, you know? So I train for a marathon because that's what I love to do the most. I add strength training. I do HIIT once or twice a week and whatever else that comes my way that I love doing. But I learn when it's too much. I'm pushing too much. So that's one of the worst ones. And I have a chronic, well, I won't call it chronic, but I have a, don't like to call it a disc, but a nerve root. You know, okay. Everybody has disc herniations and bulges.
Yep.
Our discs are bumper plates. when you tell people you have a disc bulge, it's like the end of the world for them.
Yeah, I can't.
Every single person in life will experience some kind of thing. And I know it's because I'm looking down all day with my work. When it hurts, immediate rehab. For me, you want to heal something, it's through either rest or rehab. It's as simple as that. And focusing on your nutrition, your hydration, your emotion. You know, if you're constantly stressed and upset, you're not going to recover. So the body is really, really amazing and does amazing things. But I've been through these things and I've rehabbed and gotten myself out of them. And now I feel amazing. So.
Now, talking about this, you have lots of doctors. Even nowadays, I'm still surprised that they tell their clients, we're not talking about chronic injuries or something that a traumatic injury. Yeah. They tell their clients don't stop training.
Yeah, oh my God.
Don't move.
Yeah.
Go do physio. What's your take on that? Because
and I have some of my doctors that are like that, by the way. I have some of my doctors that are also like that. But when I tell people, I never tell someone to stop training. I tell them change your training. Exactly. But for a lot of people, they don't understand that. They're so used to doing a certain thing. Going to do something different is so out of their comfort zone. That's exactly what your body needs. So it needs a different stimulus. It's also like food, by the way. If you're always dieting, one day I believe like you need to constantly shock your system. And people come to me, I'm intolerant to this. Well, if you stop drinking milk for 10 years, of course you're going to be intolerant to milk. A bit of everything, you know. And for me, it's about exposing your body to different stimulus. So if I'm injured in running, I do strength training. I do yoga. I do swimming. There's a million other things you can do. Because the second you tell your body, don't move, everything atrophies. Everything kind of like shuts down.
Exactly. You'll get worse, not better.
Exactly. So, you know, changing the load, changing the intensity, changing the stimulus into your body, for me, it's the most important thing. And 99% of successful disc rehab is through movement. I've seen people that come in, they have nerve pain, they can't walk. They're so scared. We rehab them through movement. So pain is actually a good thing. It's your body talking to you. Listen to it. Listen to what it says. You know, it's telling you this hurts. Don't do this. Do this. You know, this hurts. Don't do this. Do this. So do what feels good to you. And you really connect with yourself in that time. When I go through periods of pain, it's about slowing down. It's about listening to what my body needs. Maybe it needs more sleep, which 90% of the time it does. Maybe it needs more rest. Maybe it needs more water. Maybe listen to it and you'll naturally recover. And the physio is there to help you, to push you, to make you feel better, to give you more confidence to move in different directions and different stimuli.
And funny enough on that, like I have clients who tell me, look, I twisted my ankle playing basketball. Do you think I should come the next day? Well, you have another limb and you have your hands. Yeah. So yes, you should.
You can do upper body workouts. Yeah. You can do core stability. You can do a glute work. You can do so much for your ankle to help stabilize. But again, people don't have that knowledge, and there's a lot of fear when it comes to pain, right? Some of the most amazing people that I've seen, they work 24/7. We have a patient who really is one of the most inspiring human beings I've ever met. He had got into a really big car accident and is paralyzed. And this is one of the most active people, you know. He was a motocross racer. He runs, he goes to the gym. And I swear to you, I was talking to his therapist about that yesterday. I'm like, have you ever seen him not in a happy place? I've never seen him complain. I've never seen someone work so hard. He works like 5 hours a day with the physio, without the physio. Like, he's like, no, I'm going to get better. Like, he has it in his head. And I really believe when you put something in your brain, every one of us can be the best athlete in the world. Everyone has the potential. It's just hard work and discipline. You know, we can do whatever we want if we put our mind to it. But it's a learning, you know, what works for you, what doesn't. And some people just give up so quickly. So disc is not a permanent thing, you know. And some people come to me, they're like, I'm just going to get the surgery. I'm like, if you want to get the surgery, get the surgery. What can I tell you? You know, you think you're going to come to the physio once or twice. This is something that's been brewing in your body for years until khalas, you got to a point where the body's just like, I can't handle it. You're not moving properly. You're not eating properly. So pain is an amazing thing. Listen to it. Shift what you're doing as much as we're resistant. Get used to doing different things and see how you feel.
I definitely agree with that. We just said that even in your clinics, some doctors, this is their advice to their clients. How do you think we can bridge that gap between doctor, physical therapist, and trainers so that all of us are more educated on that subject and where the communication line will actually be better to give the clients the best treatment?
Honestly, it's like spending more time together. You know, I spend a lot of time with those doctors that tell me that. And or to tell their patients that. They tell their patient, don't do this. The patient comes to me, they're like, doctor said, don't do anything. And I'm like, don't do anything? Like, we don't live in an environment where you can walk and we do it naturally. Of course you can walk, you can swim, you can, what doesn't hurt? Find what doesn't hurt and do it. Do more of it. Become better at it. And you'll see your pain will naturally start to go away. And then I spend time with that doctor. And most of the time, these are the doctors that don't exercise. And, you know, yeah.
Exactly.
Most of the time, it's the doctors that don't understand their body. And I tell them, like, you need to go to the gym. You need to explore. And people are so scared, you know. I remember when I first went to the gym, I was so worried about what everyone thinks until I realized nobody's focused on you. People focus on themselves. Like, they look at you and know. They look at you because you're there. But nobody cares about what you're doing, about how you're lifting. And the number of times I've been in a gym and someone's come up to me and said, wow, like, that's amazing. I see you all. And it's so nice and motivating, you know. But I learned about the gym by going to the gym, not from school, not from, by exposing myself, by spending time with people who are better than me, who taught me different things, and by exploring. And even with movement, people are so afraid to do something wrong. There's no right and wrong, right? You know this with movement. There's
what's how optimal you do for it. Yeah, exactly.
What works for you. But the way I squat is completely different than the way you squat. My body and my mobility is different than your mobility. But you're not going to stop me from squatting. You know, sometimes I see trainers, they're like, no, don't do it like this. But again, like, if the patient can do it like this and they feel good, do it. But of course, you want to optimize their biomechanics. Of course you want to. But you're not going to stop someone because they have terrible ankle mobility. People need to experience and explore until they click to that. Oh yeah, this is how it works. This feels good to me. This doesn't feel good.
And what I like about what you said, this is exactly my approach to injuries. You can always find something that doesn't cause pain.
Yeah.
Find that thing.
Do it.
Progressive overload. Yeah. Once you reach a point where you go back to the things you used to do and there is no pain, okay, you know you're doing the right thing. But it is as simple as that. When you're injured, find what doesn't cause pain, do it, and load it.
And like anything, you know, people look at me and they're like, I don't know how you run. Running is so boring. Running hurts me. The first time I started running, I think I was 22. I was training for a 10K race. I was in chiropractic school. I'll never forget, I did a 10K race. I collapsed on the floor after it. I got carried away on a stretcher. My SI joint was so badly strained, I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. Okay, that was like 15 years ago. No, that's 15 years ago. That was like 10 years ago. Yeah. Now I run 40K, feeling amazing, go out after it, go, you know, shopping, go nothing. So again, it took me 15 years to load my body to a place where I can do an ultra and feel amazing after it and recover the next day. It's like anything in life. I chose the sport. I love it. I kept doing it again and again and again. My body started to become stronger. My joints became stronger, more resilient to the force and the load of my body. So like anything in life, you know, every single person will go through those injuries, learning, growth, curve. But you don't just get injured and stop. I stopped training for 2 years because I had a neck injury or a back injury. It's just education and exposure.
Well, I do agree. And nowadays, things are much better than how they used to be. I hope we can also bridge that gap a bit, so that gap be a bit less, because I do believe we have a lot of good trainers. We have
amazing physical
therapists and chiros. We have great doctors. If we combine all of these together, we 100%. Would provide would optimize what the patient or client needs.
100%. And I see that the people that work with me, the best at what they do are the ones that put themselves in different environments and expose themselves in different environments and connect to different people and are open to learning, because we only know so much. And even if you look at the field of physio and you look at the field of chiropractic in the last, you know, 15 years, how much has changed is crazy. Chiropractors were very known as bone setters. Crack, crack, crack. Yeah. And people don't understand, by the way, the cracking is so powerful in it. An adjustment is so powerful because it's putting mobility in fixated joints. And when a joint is fixated, it stimulates pain. You have mechanoreceptors and pain receptors in a joint. But that's not what chiropractic is. There's a lot of counseling. There's a lot of talk about nutrition, guidance. I do a lot of fascia work, you know, because I believe so much. And we have so many myofascial adhesions. Muscle is the most important part of the body. So personally, I do a lot of needling and cupping and deep tissue work. So it's all linked to what we do. That was never the chiropractic approach. And look at physio. It used to be all passive care. Ultrasound machine,
E-stim.
We don't use any of that in our clinic. Not because, I mean, we don't believe in it, because that's for like the most acute, like you injured yourself yesterday, I'll ultrasound you next day and I'll never use that thing again. Because to retrain the brain, you need to enhance the motion, enhance the movement. You want to tell the brain I'm safe, you need to expose that joint to stimulation again. So we don't use any machines in our clinic other than shockwave, and we use it only for calcification. But it's all manual therapy and it's all movement therapy.
And I love that about you guys, because I'm a firm believer of manual therapy, because I'm also a firm believer of movement. And yeah, you won't be able to move properly unless someone treats you the right way with the hands.
100%. And I realize over the years, it's also hard for me because I don't have a fixed practice. I work in every single clinic, you know, so it's hard for me to build the clientele, because my actual dream one day is to have my own retreat. So that's what I'm working on, where people can come and stay with me. And I have a group of amazing practitioners that are very passionate about what they do, but also passionate on teaching people, you know, putting them through a program, waking up at a certain time, eating this kind of food, moving, training, doing activities. As much as I love movement, it's also important to have hobbies, you know, to garden, to understand where your food comes from. I see so many women and men nowadays that don't even know how to cook. You know, you don't need to be but you can make the basics, you know, you can make a salad. You know, you need to learn how to fuel your body,
yeah,
you know, and I think it's so important. Like, if you don't know how to cook, Johnny, this is something I want to teach you. Learn. It's so beautiful to teach yourself to connect to the things that fuel you, you know. And I think a lot of real healing and real wellness comes back down to the basics, you know, going outside. We live in a country where 365 days of sun. People don't go outside. They're scared of the heat. I walk outside in summer at night, of course, not in the middle of the day, but like, go outside, get some air, connect to the earth, connect to the tree, connect to nature. It's so important to bring ourselves. This is real biohacking. You want red light? Go outside at sunrise and sunset. Get real red light. Throw your sunglasses off. Get the sun on your skin. Get your real vitamin D. This is real wellness. This is real biohacking. Connect your community. Connect to the people you love. Spend time with your family. Spend time with your friends. Build a community here. You know, and people are so alone and lonely because of we're in the day and age of our phones. But there's so much to be said about how people were raised 30, 40 years ago. And I'm lucky I live here. My cousins are all here. My family's all here. I don't know what it's like to be that lonely. But I know people come here, they're alone. They don't have, you know, but you can create that because there's a lot of people that are in the same environment here. But you want to feel well, do these things in your life that bring wellness into your life rather than spending money on things that don't matter.
Now, talking about wellness, you're a woman that juggles everything around. You're a co-founder of DISC. You have 5 clinics. You train like crazy. You train for a marathon. You've run almost, you're running your 15th right now. You do yoga. You do your CrossFit. You're HIIT. What keeps you that disciplined and that motivated, having all of these factors? Because it's honestly quite hard.
Yeah.
I'm a guy who works from morning till evening. Sometimes you get demotivated. You get drained. What keeps you moving forward?
It's just, I think it's passion for what I do. And always in my head, like, my motto in life is I always want to evolve, you know? And I know what it's like to not have these things in my life. I've been through these phases in my life where I didn't train, I didn't eat well, and the smallest things used to make me feel so bad, you know?
I think we all go through periods like that makes us appreciate it 100%, even more later
100%. On. That's exactly it. It's, you go through periods when you don't have that. Even on holiday, I've never been on holiday in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years where I didn't go for a run, or I'm not doing gym every day on holiday, but I'm moving. I kite surfed, I went hiking, I just passed it. It's part of who I am. It's my DNA. So I think that's the most important thing. And putting discipline, creating a structure in your life is so important. Human beings, we love what we call homeostasis. It's our body where it's the balance. When we go off balance, everything goes off, you know? And I know how I feel emotionally when I don't have these things. So if I know that I want to be successful at work, I need to have my training. If I want to go to work and listen to people's problems all day long, I need to go in with a clear mind and, you know, I need to be there to support them. If I can't build that strength in me, I can't be strong for other people. So I think that more than anything is what's built that structure. And of course, there are times that we fall off the bandwagon. We're human. I fall off the bandwagon all the time. There are periods of really bad stress in my life where I can't train the same way, but I decrease the load. You know, I remember last year was one of the hardest years of our life. We were going through so much at DISC. We went through a lot of financial issues. We went through a lot of growth issues. And really, I'm so grateful for the people in our team that stood with us through it, because it was a very difficult period for me and Michael. And we came out of it so strong. But if it wasn't for the structure and the discipline that I have in my life, I think I would have been broken. Like, I still woke up every morning. I trained every day. I trained for a marathon. And that's what brought me peace and joy. Otherwise, I think I would have been an alcoholic. So, you know, you need something to numb the pain. And for me, it's always been sports and exercise. So, and spending time, of course, with family. But sometimes you just don't want to talk about your problems, you know? So you just go out and let it all go. And best feeling in the world.
Being a successful woman in the industry, and I know you have much bigger goals, you have much more you'd like to achieve, and I do believe you're doing it for the right reasons. At the end of the day, you want to affect people's lives positively. What would be your advice for the younger women to have, let's say, stamp their mark in the healthcare industry? Because it's very competitive. You have men and women in that field. So for you to stand out, what's your advice for any woman who wants to do that?
Definitely, number one, don't give up. It's not an easy thing, but find your community, build your community, find the people that support you. I wouldn't be where I was without my family and friends that support me, that pushed me, that even the name DISC, by the way, it stands for Diversified Integrated Sports Clinic, because we're different, we do different things, but we all work together. And that came up from a bunch of my friends over dinner. You know, I'm like, how do I name the clinic? And they sat with me and they nurtured me and they helped me and they held me and they pushed me. And there's, you know, every month there comes a period where I'm just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I'm ready to retire and become a chef or or something, you know. And I think everyone goes through that. You know, from the outside, people look at your life and my life and whoever's life and say, their life looks great. I want to be like them. But everybody has issues. Everybody has problems. We all have our things to deal with. But I think it's about showing up for yourself, really sitting with yourself and figuring out what you want. For me, through sport, I found my meditation. When I run, all the answers come to me in my head, what I want. Things take time also. You know, sometimes we want things like this overnight. 10 years, I haven't even scratched the surface of what I want to do. And you know, now we've evolved a lot more in the medtech field and different things. Things come and just be open to life changing. But don't give up. Don't give up and try to connect with as many people as possible so you can learn about yourself and what's out there. You know, there's so much in the community. And I always get out. I explore. I evolve. I want to know what's in the community. I want to know what people want. And don't be in your head, you know. A lot of practitioners have such a big ego. They're like, I know what's best for everyone. No, you don't know.
It's not just that.
My patients tell me what they want. You know, I know what I like, but people tell me what they need. And maybe what I think what people need is not what they actually want. So listen to people. Listen to what your community wants. Listen to what your patient wants and grow from there.
In terms of education, if someone is... You know, you have chiro, you have physical therapy, you have the kinesiology. So if someone is not sure which path to go through, what would your advice be in terms of education? How to start?
If you wanted to be in the field that I'm in, which is sports medicine, if I would go back and do and know what I know, I would have done physio first and then chiropractic. I would have done both.
Okay.
I would have even become a surgeon, by the way. I would have done all of it because I would know when to do what I do. And I really believe surgery is kind of going out of fashion. I work with some of the best surgeons ever, and I love and I respect them so much, so I hope they're not listening to this. But people are really falling into the regenerative medicine approach and path. And I really love and respect that. Stem cells are incredible, what they can do for you, what they've done for cancers, what they've done for disc, what they've done for, you know, tendon and joint regeneration. So we have stem cells, we have exosomes, we have all of these amazing things. And I think with people understanding what they know about their bodies and their how to sleep, eat, biohack, and with these additional regenerative things, I think that this is so much for what a person can achieve. At the end of the day, we're fighting time and gravity, you know. We're all going to deteriorate as we grow. It doesn't have to be bad, you know, but we're all going to age and we just need to be okay with that. But how do we age well and how do we age gracefully? So I would definitely go back and I would do physio in terms of learning about the body. I would definitely take PT courses and learn so much about movement. 100%.
This is, I think... Every physio or practitioner needs to take at least the level 3
100%.
PT to understand, to bridge the gap that we've been talking about.
100%. I never did it more out of time, but the way I did it is by just immersing myself in every sport and movement. Not everybody loves it like the way I do, but if you do, get out there and train, you know. I've done everything, the good things, the bad things, things that worked, things that didn't work, but exposing myself has taught me so much. And then I love what I do as a chiropractor. You know, I think it's so magical. Being able to get people out of pain instantaneously is miraculous, you know. But the more you educate yourself, obviously, the better. Would I go down to the only reason I'd want to learn surgery is because there are things I believe are necessary to have surgery, that necessary to be fixed, but there's so many other things that don't need. So knowing when to use it and knowing when not to use it. Unfortunately, with a lot of surgeons, that's all they do, right? Quick all fix. They know is surgery. Yeah, so they just want to do surgery on everything because that's what they know. But when you know a bit of everything and you know, no, this doesn't need that, I can rehab you, I can help you, but you don't need to be the person that does everything. That's why a team approach is so important.
Definitely.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Tamara, thanks a lot.
A pleasure, Johnny.
This was honestly amazing.
Thank you, same for me.
Definitely, we're going to have another episode later on.
And I'm just excited that we're working together.
Yes.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah,
you know,
we've
formed this beautiful partnership, and I'm excited for our patients. I think it's amazing for them to get exposed to different you know, medicines and schools of thoughts and practices. And I really believe what you do, movement, is medicine, and it's really, really important. And so I'm excited. What's to come?
So, you know, when Nermeen actually told me about it. By the way, Nermeen is the head of operations.
Yeah.
So,
and also used to be one of my best physios, but yeah, she doesn't work at the physio anymore.
You know, by the way, I had a lot of my clients talk to me about Nermeen before she even started training with me.
Know.
So when
I
she
know.
Came, I'm like, you're the Nermeen. You know, when she spoke about that subject, instantaneously in my head, finally, we have that gap that we can actually bridge working together between physios, chiros, doctors, and trainers, and the psychology component, which is, I 100%. Think, the best way we can approach 100%. Anything, not just what we want
it's
to
definitely
do.
A 360 solution, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of people come and they want to use one thing, you know, they just want to get out of pain, or they want to lose weight, but I think that if we can create this supportive platform where we can tell them, we can design a program for you to help you to get to where you want, you pick and choose what you need, take what you can from it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, even the best athletes in the world are constantly evolving. They're constantly learning. They're constantly growing. Each one of us can grow and evolve to be a better person, pain-free, more bulletproof body every single day.
Yeah.
And it's never too late to start. You
Thank
know,
you.
So I'm excited to see what's to come.
Me too. Thank
Pleasure,
you,
Johnny. Thank you so much.
Thank you.